Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm the father of five. And we're trying to figure out what it is to be a father in the 21st century here in this program. And today, a recent report came out on American eating habits. Nearly a third of American calories are from junk foods. Yeah, you got it. Soft drinks, sweets, desserts, alcoholic beverages, salty snacks. That makes up a third of American calories, which explains why obesity is so rampant and diabetes is now epidemic in America. Chronic disease is skyrocketing. We're a nation that is simultaneously overfed and malnourished. How can it be? Well, as it turns out, we get plenty of calories, but very little nutrition out of it. Nationwide, two-thirds of American adults now are classified as either overweight or obese by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The number of overweight children ages 6 to 11 has more than doubled in the last 20 years. According to, again, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Interestingly, all kinds of studies on fat kids. Yeah, lots of studies out there. Recently conducted, last 2 years or so, scientists have identified all kinds of causes. Not enough sleep, not too much fruit juice in one study, not enough the right kind of fat in their diets, et cetera, et cetera. These are all the reasons why you got obesity. Well, you know, it's funny. Not too many studies have come up with the real problem, and that is the lack of involvement of parents in those children's lives. What about the fact that we have five times as many kids in daycare than we did 20 years ago? Could that be a factor? Could it be a factor? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about what it is to reintegrate the family and then get parents reconnected with their kids, at least reconnected enough to be parents and be the authoritative guide that God wants them to be in their children's lives. We want to talk with Joanne Brusso next. She's the author of Baby Bites, a book on transforming a picky eater into a healthy eater. She says you need to establish good eating habits all the way from the terrific twos. Does your child refuse to eat vegetables? Have you become a short-order cook because your child is a fussy eater? Is dinner time a nightmare for you as you work with your little 2- and 3-year-olds? Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to talk with Joanne Brusso on these very issues. Stay with me. My name's Kevin Swanson.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back.
Welcome back to Generations. Kevin Swanson here, Mike's side with you today. And Joanne Brusso is joining me today, author of Baby Bites, Transforming a Picky Eater into a Healthy Eater. She has 4 daughters and 6 grandkids, so she's got experience with this sort of thing. Hey, Joanne, welcome to Generations.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
You know, Joanne, this is a really important topic. I'm so happy that you published this book. It's a brand new book, folks. It's called Baby Bites. And Joanne, you know, we Americans, we spend more money on pills and surgery and everything else, on health care, than probably any other nation around the world today. And yet, we're less healthy today than we used to be. Why is that?
It's basically because our food supply has changed.
Hmm.
And as consumers, we don't always realize that we're not really buying food. We're buying faux food, and that's food that gives us no nutritional advantage at all.
Like what? Well, gives us some examples of that.
Processed food. Anything you buy in a box probably has more artificial ingredients than whole ingredients.
Okay.
Sugar is a primary ingredient in processed foods, and sugar has no nutritional value.
So sugar is not good for you?
Isn't that what you're saying?
What happens to it when it gets into the body?
Well, it does everything that's not good, and especially in children whose bodies are smaller than adults and not as mature, sugar can make some problems worse. Like if you have a child that's very active or hyperactive, sugar and simple carbohydrates can make those symptoms more problematic. And I'm not saying that eliminating sugar entirely will eliminate the problem, but it will certainly help improve it.
Can you look at a child, Joanne, and tell whether or not that child is eating well?
Not always. And part of the problem is that our children are overweight, so it looks like they're well-fed, but they're well-fed with the wrong kinds of food, thus they're overweight. So you can't always tell. Sometimes the child will be very thin who's a picky eater, but sometimes you have a picky eater who's quite plump.
Yeah, yeah. What about if they're sluggish? What if they have a hard time focusing, et cetera, et cetera? What are the sorts of things you look for if you think there might be an eating problem here?
Well, very definitely. Attention span is a huge issue. Also, if they're not as active as the child that should be at their age, or they get tired easily, those are very good indicators that they're not getting the nutrition needed.
And what sugar does to you is I think it gives you a high for about 4.3 minutes, and then you got a low for the next 2.5 hours.
Yeah, you have your body goes through an up and then a crash. It's hard on your system when you are consuming a lot of simple carbohydrates.
So what kind of bad habits are kids picking up, and how are they getting those bad habits, Joanne?
Well, partly it's the way we choose to purchase our food. Fast food has become a mainstay. When I was growing up, it was at the beginning of the fast food explosion, and fast food was a treat, something that was done very rarely. Today, it's not uncommon for moms with small children to stop at fast food restaurants multiple times a week for a meal. This is very detrimental to children's health because it sets up some very long-term patterns, and little children's taste buds are being developed. They get used to eating fried foods, sweet foods, salty foods. And then when you put a vegetable in front of them, which has a slightly bitter taste, they refuse to eat it. It's not what they're used to eating. And we have found that children by the age of 4 generally have set up their food preferences for their entire life. So these first few years are vitally important.
So, yes, you have got to establish that right from the get-go. You know, I never thought about this, but, you know, I think a lot of moms and dads are so busy doing so many other things, they don't have the time to eat right, and yet if you don't eat right, you don't live right.
Yes, and you know what? Homeschool moms are probably the busiest. 2 of my daughters homeschool, and I know how busy they are and how time-consuming it is. I wrote the book actually for my oldest daughter who was homeschooling at the time. She had 2 children that were old enough to school. Her youngest one was 2.5, and his name is Joshy. And Joshy was an extremely picky eater. He was on the far end of the spectrum. He was only eating 4 or 5 foods regularly times. So we had a preschooler. And the steps are valid no matter how old your child is or if you're speaking about an adult that wants to change their eating habits for the better. Because the steps are whole foods plus positive discipline plus directed play. And directed play is multisensory learning.
Okay.
And whole foods are what God intended for mankind to eat. They're where we derive our nutrition to grow and to become healthy. Positive discipline is how God intends parents to raise their children to be godly children.
Mm-hmm.
And a directed play is just a fun way of saying multisensory learning is how God made people so that they can learn new things. It's not just one sense. If you're a homeschooler, you know, if you're a homeschool mom, you know that your child learns by using all their senses. Unfortunately, when it comes to eating, we rely on taste alone. And we think, oh, we're going to give something to my child, he's going to taste it and love it. And we forget that all the other senses are involved in the learning process. So the Baby Bite Steps incorporates all these things. And what we did with Joshy is initially we just stopped everything that we were doing that was not working. He was extremely underweight, eating only a few foods, and it was affecting his health. He was on the far end of the spectrum. Not all children are as severe picky eaters as Joshy was. But what we did is in the first few days we just stopped what was not working, stopped asking him to eat, and started asking him to accomplish simple tasks while the family was eating. And that was, the first thing was he was so picky. He didn't want anything in his plate that he didn't like, and he certainly wasn't going to touch it. So the first thing we did was we said, the food has to stay in your plate. You're not allowed to throw it on the floor. This is where the positive discipline comes in. Right. And then the first task he had to do was touch the food. This was huge for Joshie. Yeah. He didn't want to touch anything he didn't want to eat. And then that's why it's called baby bite steps. It just gradually, we increase the difficulty of the steps every day for a week.
Yeah, you talk about the texture of the food, and I got to thinking about this. You know, when I was a kid, I could not stand squash. You know, really the issue was not so much taste as the stringy, gross texture. You know how gross squash is and its texture?
As far as I'm concerned, it's gross. The number one issue, it's really not the taste, it's the texture.
Yeah, I just found it repulsive. And so how do you deal with that?
Well, it's a learning process, and if you keep that in mind, your child is learning about food. And the steps, the first thing you do is have the child touch it. The next thing you do is have the child hold it. And all this time, you're giving positive remarks about what he's doing. What color is the food? What does it feel like? What other food feels like that? If it's squash, is there another food that has that consistency? Can your child think of it? Is it a banana or something else your child likes to eat? Does it feel like that? So you're constantly affirming how wonderful the food is, how wonderful it looks, how wonderful it smells before you ever ask the child to eat it.
Now,
this was huge because a child has to eat it on their own. You can't force them to put it in their mouth.
Yeah, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yes.
It's hard to take the jaws and do.
You know.
It's hard to take the jaws and do the chewing thing with your hands.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think
and
every
then you can't make them swallow it. Even if you can get it in their mouth,
that's
how do you
right.
make them swallow it?
That's right. Every parent's gone through this, I'm sure. But one other thing that you introduced to the process, which I think is really interesting, is two little animals. You bring two very hungry little animals onto that plate. Talk to us about that.
Especially important for preschool children. The older child, you establish the steps using other methods. But for a preschool or early elementary school age child, this is vital. Because these two little characters for children incorporate all the senses. So we have a very hungry dinosaur, and his name is Tyrannosaurus. And it's Try because he will try any food. And he's green, and he especially loves green vegetables. And because he's a huge dinosaur, he has a ferocious appetite, and he's always hungry. And he comes to the table with your little child, along with his best buddy, Betty Baby Bites. And she's tiny, and she eats in tiny little baby bites, and Try eats in great big bites. So what this does is by incorporating these two characters, you are engaging your child's imagination in the learning process. And he practices for several days with these little characters while he's doing these tasks himself. And at the end of the week, he's practiced with Try and Betty, giving them big and little bites. And when you ask him to take a bite, a tiny baby bite like Betty, he just does. He's been practicing it all week with Betty. And then the next step is take a great big bite like Try, and he will. Because he's done it all week long, and he's learned the process.
Yeah. You know, a lot of what you talk about in the book, Joanne, is attitude. The attitude is important. They come to that table, they've got that grumpy attitude, oh, it's squash again, yucky yuck.
Not allowed to say those words.
Right, exactly. How do you encourage a positive attitude at the table?
Well, every parent's parenting method will vary, but a child is not allowed to say negative things. Even other people at the table, whether that be daddy or other children, auditory learning is critical. And if other people are saying, "Oh, that's yucky," or "I don't like that," or "That smells horrible," that's auditory learning affirming that food is bad,
yes.
And that has to stop.
And as we come up to the table, man, gratefulness is really important. I mean, that's what the Christian life is all about, right? We're to be grateful to God for it. How do we do that? How do we encourage that?
Well, initially, starting the meal with a prayer of thanksgiving for what's been prepared. And not only is this thanking God for the food, but it's affirming how wonderful it is what he's provided. And this also is auditory learning for the child. When you name the food that's been prepared for that meal specifically, and you say, oh, thank you, God, for this wonderful meatloaf and these yummy green beans, you're affirming while you're praying to God that this food is yummy and good to eat.
And God is good, and God made it for us, and so we're going to delight in it today. Let's talk about really specific foods. You talk about serving vegetables every meal. Now, I got sort of shocked. Me. I thought, vegetables in my cereal in the morning. I wasn't making a connection there. But why is that? Do you actually do this? Do you serve carrot sticks breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Well, for the picky eater, we definitely do. And it's not really all that hard to include vegetables in every meal. We get into a rut of having cereal and milk for breakfast, and we think that's breakfast. The reason for serving vegetables at every meal for the picky eater is that generally these are the foods they won't eat. And it takes about 21 exposures before a child will readily accept any new food. So if you pick one food, let's say your child doesn't eat carrots, and carrots show up at every meal for a week, guess what? That's 21 times. And that child has been exposed to that food numerous times. You've talked about it. He's touched it. He's played with it. By the end of the week, he will readily pick it up and take it away.
So what you're saying is there's nothing wrong with putting vegetables there on the table during breakfast time. There isn't any health problem with doing that.
So most children, the only two vegetables they eat, I shouldn't say most, I will say many children, the only two vegetables they readily eat are ketchup and French fries. And that's using the term vegetable loosely.
Right, very loosely. I'd agree with that. What about snacking? Do you talk about snacking in the book?
It needs to be controlled. For the picky eater, especially a small child, usually snacks are necessary to make it between meals, but they need to be controlled on two levels. One is a child should not be given a snack more than an hour and a half to 2 hours before a meal, because what you're doing is ruining their appetite, and then when they get to the table, they definitely won't try anything new because they're not even hungry. And second of all, they need to be controlled and simple carbohydrates eliminated so that a snack becomes a mini meal.
Like apples, carrots, that sort of thing.
Yes, or even a little peanut butter, or for the child, sometimes toddlers have difficulty with dinner. They're just not hungry at dinner. So if you have a child who just doesn't have much of an appetite at dinner, when he's starving at 3 o'clock, warm up what you had for dinner the night before. And then he's really eating his dinner at 3, and then when he comes to the table, he's not maybe, ravenous, but you can give him little things that you're eating, and he's had his main meal earlier than the rest of the family.
Now, one of the things I like about your book, Baby Bites, is that it deals with a lot of the specific things that moms are preparing for their children every day and talks about the nutritional benefit of these sorts of things. Talk about bread for a moment. I know you deal with that in your book. Bread is just really the warp and the woof of life, it seems, for most families. Are all breads created equal?
No, but the Bible calls bread the staff of life. Now, the staff of life, that's the very essence of life. So the Bible says it's very important, but what we call bread today is mostly chemicals. And this is detrimental for children because their bodies are not only smaller, but they're immature. And I try to implement different aspects of healthy eating that would be very quick and easy for the mom. Having four children myself, I remember how it was being in the grocery store when you had a child that was cranky or a baby that was overdue for a nap, and you're trying to pick things up quickly. So I put an easy way to find a healthful loaf of bread when you don't have time to read the ingredients on each package, and that can be time-consuming.
So how do you do it? How do you pick your bread?
Well, you go down the aisle. You can even do this blindfolded. Just touch the loaves. If they're soft, don't even pick it up. It's mostly chemicals. And so once you find a loaf that's fairly firm, that one you can pick up and turn it over. You don't have to read the entire nutrition label. Just look for the grams of fiber. If you find 3 grams of fiber on there, you've got a good loaf of bread and you don't have to read the whole label. If you have more time and you want to look, well, look to see what the first ingredient is. And if it says whole grain whatever, whole grain wheat or oat, that's a great loaf of bread. And it's taken you 2 seconds to find it.
Joanne, we just have a minute or two left. I'd like you to talk to parents right now who maybe have been skipping some of these important lessons in life. They really have not been establishing good eating habits for their children. Why don't you talk to them and just tell them why it's so important for them to take care of their children's bodies?
Well, we're seeing it today. Our experts are telling us that a disease that was once reserved for adults is now affecting our children. We're seeing children show up with type 2 diabetes. That was unheard of. Overweight children. I mean, this is vital. And the Bible tells us that as parents, we're responsible for teaching our children everything, including how to be healthy. This is so primary. It seems so obvious that if you don't have health, everything else is going to be affected. And what our children learn while they're young, they will carry with them into adulthood. This is a primary responsibility for parents to teach their children not only what good healthy eating is, but how yummy it is. It's like you said earlier, God has provided wonderful things for us, and He has not made it hard. He made it tasty for us to eat healthy foods.
And I think of the verse, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And obviously, eating and drinking is something you can do for the glory of God, but you really want to do it in the right way. And Joanne, you've done a very, very helpful book, I think, for a lot of parents out there. I hope it goes to the millions here and your sales are yours. It's just out.
Bless your heart.
It's called Baby Bites, folks, Transforming a Picky Eater into a Healthy Eater. You can get this at babybites.info. on the web. Again, that's babybites.info on the web. And the book is by Nana Joanne Brusso, and Nana there is Italian for grandma. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Joanne Brusso. And Joanne, thank you so much for joining us today on Generations.
Well, thank you.
Again, folks, you can get this book, Baby Bites, by going to babybites.info on the web. And ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. This program is returning truth and relationships to a lost and lonely world. We're reintegrating the family on this program. We're encouraging parents to be parents and to parent their children in critical areas like eating, for example. That's the mission of this program, and we appreciate you tuning in to us this day. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
You have been listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson, where we take a look at life through a biblical worldview and a generational focus. If you've been challenged by this program, you need to get a copy of Kevin Swanson's new book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Get an upgrade at kevinswanson.com. This book addresses many of the issues close to the heart of this program: the power of relationships, the preeminence of character and faith, and the importance of getting the right worldview in education. Get your copy of Upgrade today.